Go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm speaking this morning on Eve, the mother of all living. Eve, the mother of all living. If you'll look at Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. Well, you know what, let's just read verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us to understand the amazing truth that you have in your word for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The first thing that I want you to see in this text is the making. The making. And I want you to understand something. This really happened. If you look at verse 2, or verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. This really happened. He put Adam to sleep. He opened up his side. He took out a rib and he made the woman out of the rib. This really happened. We as Bible believers assume the Bible to be true scientifically and historically until it is proven otherwise. Amen? And it hasn't been proven otherwise. This really happened. Now, this is a wild story. This is a wild story. And there's a lot of things that we're going to learn from it, but the first thing that I want you to see is the making. In Adam, it was physical. It really happened. And this is so interesting to me. Sir James Simpson, the British physician, he read this passage, and after praying about it and contemplating it, he produced the first real anesthetic, chloroform. Chloroform was invented because a doctor read this passage and believed it. Isn't that wonderful? And we find things all through history like that. So the first thing that I want you to see is the making. So let's go to verse 18. And the Lord God said, that Mark Trotter pointed this out to us. Some of you will remember it. This is funny. God has a sense of humor. This is really a humorous story. So look at it. And God said, and the Lord God said, verse 18, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So the help meet, we talk about the wife being the help meet of the man. God was going to make a woman that was just perfect for Adam. Just right. That would meet his needs and that would complete him. If I hadn't met Laura, I'd probably still be in college because I never would have graduated. You know, she completed me. She's organized. I'm scattered. She's disciplined. I'm not. She's nice. You know, she has completed me. She's finished me. That's what the wife is supposed to do. And that's what God did for Adam. But look at this. Okay, so let's read verse 18 again. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Now look at what God does. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. So here's what happens. Picture this. God says to Adam, it's not good that you be alone. I'm going to make a help meet for you. I'm going to make you a wife. And the next thing that God does is he reaches down into the ground and he pulls out an aardvark. This is what's happening. Look at the text. The beasts of the field. So God says, I'm going to make a help meet for you. And then he brings the animals to Adam to name. And he pulls this aardvark out and he says, what's this, Adam? He goes, I don't know, aardvark, anything but help meet. Amen? Can't you just see that happening? Next thing he pulls out is an elephant. No, that's not it. How about a monkey? And Adam says, you're getting closer. No, that is not it, is it? But God is so, it is so humorous that God gave us that in the scriptures. But then the thing that happens is God causes the sleep to fall on Adam and he creates the woman. Let's look at how he makes her. So verse 22 again, in the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said... Now, you see the comma there? Now, Mark Trotter told us this, that there's a spot right there. And in there in the Hebrew, there's some words that aren't translated. So God brings the woman to the man, and the words aren't translated there. It goes something like this. Hamana, 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 Hamana. And he says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And I promise you, Adam was excited. Amen? There is something special about it. I remember the first time I saw Laura. And remember, I've told you the story. Girls, pretty girls in Bible college running packs. And I was just waiting for one to be alone. And she's the first one that I found away from the others. But let me tell you something. That attraction that God gives, that God makes the woman attractive for the man, that is part of God's plan. Amen? I just had somebody tell me that they're looking for a wife, and he says, I want you to know, I want to be spiritual and everything, but she's got to be pretty. And I said, amen! It's in the book, right? It's biblical. It's the right thing. Okay, now. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Let's go down, verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Now, he meant it, didn't he? I mean, that's literal. That's literal. And flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And that word woman is very interesting. It means woman. It means man with a womb. The woman really is a part of the man. If you go over to Genesis chapter 5, this is the book, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. What was Eve's name when she was created? Adam. Isn't that interesting? They were one flesh. That marriage unit was supposed to be so close, so tight, that they are one flesh. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Look at the next verse. Verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now this is so important. Leave and cleave. Amen? Leave and cleave. Some of you parents who have married children need to leave them alone. Some of you kids, you boys, you men who get married, you need to tell mom to stay out of your business. Amen? You need to leave. You say, it's Mother's Day, and you're telling mom to stay out of our business? It'll get better, don't worry. So here's the idea. You're going to leave and cleave. You're leaving father and mother, and you're cleaving together with your wife, and you two become a family unit, a separate family unit. You still honor the command to honor your father and mother never goes away. Amen? Amen. But mom, your mom does not rule your house. I told you the great sensitive person that I was when we first got married. Laura made me some potato salad. And it was good. And I was going to help her. And I said, this is really good. Why don't you call my mom and get her recipe for potato salad? How many of you think that went well for me? Laura made potato salad again, last year. Maybe. I'm just telling you what we're supposed to do is leave father and mother. It doesn't mean you never talk to your mom and dad again, but they don't rule your house. You too become a unit and you rule your house. Amen? That's the leaving. That's the making of the woman. The making. Now I want you, the point that I want you to get from this, the primary point is it really happened. This really happened. Why is that important? Because now we understand the family unit. Amen? We all heard it. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It's a man and a woman. This really happened. This is God's plan. This is God's plan. All right. So now we have the making. Number two, I want you to see the message. The message. And this is the primary portion that we're going to use. Look at verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. What I want you to see from this text now is what can we learn from this making. There's a message in the life of Eve that all of us can get. The first thing that I want you to see is that Adam's side was wounded to create his bride. Look at what it says. Verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. His side was wounded, and God took out the rib to create his bride. Is that true? Keep your place here. Go to John chapter 19, verse 34. Another name for Jesus Christ is the second Adam. The Bible says, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." You see, God wounded Adam's side to create his bride. And God wounded Jesus Christ's side to produce his bride, the church. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was wounded. He was wounded so that you and I could be saved. And that was the birth or the creation of the church. That's us. What can we learn from this? What's the message? That God, in the creation of Adam, already was thinking of you. All the way back then. So Adam's side was wounded to create his bride. Jesus' side was wounded to create his bride. Then next, look at verse 21. I want you to see this. We're back in Genesis chapter 2. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam." A deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Adam was put to sleep to create his bride. Adam was put to sleep to create his bride. Now, honestly, if God hadn't done that, would that have freaked Adam out? You know, you're just standing there and all of a sudden God reaches inside you and pulls out a rib. You know, like one of those martial arts movies. "I'm going to kill you." And pulls out the heart, you know. That would freak you out, man. And so he puts him to sleep. He puts him to sleep. And then he takes the rib. Now go to John chapter 11. Of course, keep Genesis 2. John chapter 11. And verse 11. "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth." You see that? Remember Jesus' friend Lazarus had died. "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." You know, sleep's good. That's what they're saying. Sleep's good. All right? Then it says this, "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead." See, the Bible equates sleep with death over and over and over again. And I had made this connection in my mind in preparing this message on Adam was put to sleep, and the Bible talks about our Lord's death as sleep. But you know what's interesting? One of my commentators said this, that he believes this is such a picture of what Jesus Christ did for the church that he believes that Adam actually died right there. Now, that's just conjecture. We don't know that. Could God have him die and then bring him back to life? Would it even be a problem? No. So we don't know that he did, but we do know that sleep is a picture of death. And God caused a sleep to come on Adam, and from that sleep, he produced his bride. He created his bride. And here we have again, Jesus Christ slept, he died, and through his death and then his resurrection, he created the church. So in Eve, Jesus Christ, our Father, God the Father, was thinking of us. Then I want you to see this. So Adam was put to sleep to create his bride. Then, letter C, Adam awoke to be the head of his bride. Adam awoke to be the head of his bride. Verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." The Bible says, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So here's the idea. It's very simple. God caused a sleep to fall on Adam, and he woke again to be the head of his bride, Jesus Christ. God caused Jesus Christ to be put to death, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead to be the head of the church. Amen? It is the truth of it. It is the truth of it. So that's the message. The message. Then Adam awoke to provide for the needs of his bride. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do you know what's wonderful about Jesus Christ rising from the dead to be our head? He's our provider. Do you know that Jesus doesn't need anything from you? He doesn't need anything from you. He provides everything for us. The Bible says, well, let's just look at it. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, or through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen? So here God provides everything for the church. And understand that men, when God created the woman and gave her to the man, the responsibility of Adam was to provide for the needs of his wife. Your job, man, your job, husband, when you get married, is you take on the responsibility to provide for your wife. Amen? That is your responsibility. You're to care for her. Nothing wrong with ladies working. Nothing wrong with ladies having a job. But it is your primary role, husband, to provide for the needs of your wife. When we get that out of whack, when we get to where we just want to goof off or not do what we're supposed to do, we need to understand that just as Jesus Christ provides for the church, us guys love it that God says that we're the head and the wife's supposed to submit to us. Well, if that's the case, then you're supposed to be the provider and care for the needs. That's the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional needs of your wife. The Bible tells you, husband, that you are supposed to dwell with her according to knowledge. Why? Caring for her as the weaker vessel. How is she weaker? How is she weaker? She's not. She may be weaker physically. Some of you, I think your wife could take you. She may be weaker physically. She may be weaker spiritually. Most of the time, that's not the case. Right? Amen. Why is she weaker? The only place in the Bible where it says that a woman's weaker is a woman is more prone to go into false doctrine than a man is. That's what the Bible says. So what are you supposed to do, husband? You're supposed to protect your wife. You're supposed to care for her physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That means you've got to be in the church, in the Word, knowing the Word of God, discussing these things with your wife so that you can be the man that God wants you to be and she can be the bride that God wants her to be. Amen? Yeah. Amen. This is all provided for us in this message that we get from Eve. I love this one. Letter E. Eve was taken from his side. And that's what it says there in Ephesians chapter 21. Then he closed up his side. He took the rib. Now, I don't know. I know that several of you played football. Some of you boxed. One time I was wanting to learn to box, and I did a little bit of it. And I had a man that was the heavyweight champion of the Marine Corps. And we sparred. And he was going to teach me some things. And I weighed about 140 pounds. And so he says, okay, let me just show you how to jab. And so he says, you just want to flick your jab. And so he was hitting me here in the chest, showing me. And he's just doing this, you know. And every time he hit me, it was like, I'm just getting blasted back. So then he said, now, wait a minute. You got to cover up. It'll help you if you cover up. Why? Because he's going to break my ribs. So when you're fighting, one of the things that you do, you cover up. You come down, you cover your ribs with your arms. God took this woman out of the side, and you men, one of your primary roles is to protect her. You are her protector. I'm just telling you, if some dude is using horrible language around your wife, that's got to stop. If some guy, our culture, it's changed so much. If some punk is lipping off around your wife, that's got to stop. Around your little girls, that's got to stop. Amen? We got to take care of that. We are supposed to protect our brides. And again, we protect them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Men, when's the last time you told your wife she was pretty? When's the last time you told her she's the most special and important and wonderful thing to you? See, here's what happens. We have a false view, a false presentation of beauty in the world. Airbrushed pictures on magazines. Your wife can't compete with that. Who can? It's not real. It's not real. And can I tell you something, buddy? You might need a little airbrushing your own self. Amen? Here's the idea. You are supposed to protect her physically, emotionally, and then we've already talked about it, spiritually. You are her protector. Now, ladies, don't be sitting there thinking that I'm saying that you're not protectable or that you need to be protected. In some areas, you do need to be protected. But whether or not you need it, it's still his job to do it. Amen? And if you really sit back and think about it, you kind of like it. God created you to be protected by your husband. Can I show you a passage that's just beautiful? Go with me to Matthew chapter 23. I think that this is just an amazing parallel. Matthew chapter 23. Look at verse 37. Here's Jesus Christ. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. What did Jesus want to do? He wanted to gather them under his wings, under his arms, and protect them. That's what he wanted to do. So remember what happened. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of the flesh or of the will of flesh, but of God. Anybody here born again? You're part of the church? Then Jesus Christ has gathered you under his wings, under his arm. And he's there to protect you. Remember, we love that passage. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm safe. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. Even better, I'm safe under the protective arm of my Savior as I'm in the church. That's the message from the life of Eve. That's the message from the life of Eve. Then, letter F, Eve was a virgin bride. Look at what it says back in Genesis chapter 2. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. This is a very pure relationship. Amen? It's holy. It's right. Now let's look at the comparison. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 2. For I am jealous over you, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church, that local church at Corinth. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." You see, that is the purity of the relationship. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 again. And look at verse 25. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." See, that's the purity of the relationship. Do you know something that's really interesting that I hadn't noticed? I was reading a book, Herbert Lockyer, All the Women of the Bible, getting ready for this message. And he pointed out something to me that I hadn't ever thought of. You know that Eve was never a daughter? She's never a sister. Eve was never a child. Eve was never a little girl. Eve wasn't a daughter. We mentioned that already. She's the mother of all things. The first daughter is mentioned in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4 when it talks about Adam and Eve having sons and daughters. That's where it started. So she didn't have any of that. She began for one purpose, and that was to be a wife to her husband. Can I tell you something, ladies? Your purpose is not to be a mother. Your purpose isn't to be a sister or a daughter. Your purpose is to be a wife to your husband. That's why you were created. And the simple fact is, if you are obedient to God's word as a wife to your husband, you're going to be a great mom. You're going to be a great daughter, a great sister. You're going to be a wonderful Christian if you understand your primary purpose was to be a helpmeet for that man. That's why you were created. But he's a jerk. And God says, "If I had only known that, I wouldn't have put that in the Bible." Do you understand that's why he had to put it in the Bible? Because he knew us men would be jerks. But it's still your responsibility. But what does the Bible say? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. It's a two-way street, amen? But look, you ladies, by your being a godly wife to your husband, will make him less of a jerk, because he's going to come under the conviction of the Word of God. And that's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Amen. All right. Boy, that was quiet. All right. So now, look at the next part of this. Look at verse 28. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies." Why is that? Because the wife was taken out of the man. So you're supposed to love your wife as much as you love yourself. I think that is so funny. God knew how selfish men would be. It's amazing how many guys have a bass boat and the wife doesn't even have a dishwasher. How many of you know situations like that? It's true. You know, what's that song, "I'm Gonna Miss Her"? And it's hilarious, but it's not right. Amen? Husbands, love your wives. If you love fishing more than your family, you are messing up really bad. All right, so now, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." I just love the incentive that God has to give a man. We are such knuckleheads. Here's how you're supposed to love your wife. Love her like you do yourself. You know, he doesn't say love her like you're hunting or you're fishing. Love her like you do yourself. Don't love her like you love your job or your golf. Love her like you love yourself. Then all of a sudden, she becomes the most important person in the world. It's interesting. Then look at what it says. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." You see that? Remember we talked about providing? The Lord provides for the church. You provide for your family. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Didn't we just read that? All the way back in Genesis. See, I'm not making a leap on this. God has tied those two things together, the church and the home, the marriage relationship and the church. Look at the next verse. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." What's the mystery? The mystery is that the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church is just like the relationship between Adam and Eve. And that is a supernatural relationship that God created. Isn't that awesome? That's the message. That's the message. Then, just briefly, letter G, Eve did not exist before this event. God said it's not good that a man should be alone. Why? Because he was. Eve only existed in the mind of God. The church did not exist before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It existed prophetically. Jesus Christ had said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Amen? Jesus told the disciples in Matthew chapter 18, when you have a problem, bring it before the church. So Jesus Christ was introducing the concept of the church, but it didn't happen until you had the death, burial, and resurrection. Then when you get to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt believers, then the church started functioning as the church. So here's the thing. Before God created Eve out of Adam, Eve didn't exist. Before God created the church out of Jesus Christ, it didn't exist. All right, so let's roll on. So number one, we talked about the making. Number two, we talked about the message. Number three, I want you to see the model. Now, this is very important. This is very important. This is the crux of the whole thing. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Eve is a model. Eve's a model for mothers today. Do we have any mothers here? If you're a mother today, would you raise your hand? Your mom? All right. So Eve is a model for you. Look at what it says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, and that's always Satan's attack. The first thing he does is attack the Word of God. The first time we see Satan, he's attacking the Word of God. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. See, what is her name right here? What's her name? Woman. When God created them, according to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 2, man and woman created he them, and he called their name Adam. Her name is Adam. Now they fall. She eats the fruit. Her husband, Adam, sees what's happened, and he eats the fruit. And now God comes to look at him, and remember, the Word of God came in the cool of the day. The Word of God is Jesus Christ, or the voice of God came in the cool of the day. Jesus Christ is the voice of God. It's Jesus Christ coming and walking with them, looking for them, and they were now ashamed because they knew that they were naked. And so if we go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, did God know whether or not they had eaten? Yeah. God always wants to let us confess. Now, look at what it says. Verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Why did God give Adam Eve? What does it say right here? What's it say? To be with me. Remember what we said your role is? Your first role is not daughter, mother, it's wife. But look at what it says. This woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of this tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, which thou hast eaten, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So he goes on and he gives the curse. And I want you to see something right here. Because you listened to the voice of your wife. God has established an order. Who is the head of the home? The man. And I want you to understand something, wives. You can be a model here. You can be a model for good, or you can be a model for evil. Eve was both. I want you to see, first of all, Eve is a model of God's grace. Want to see something really cool? Now, what we just read is a bummer, isn't it? But look at verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Do you know Adam could have called her death? He could have called her killer, murderer, destroyer. And he would have been justified in doing it. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy. It says this, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. He could have, but he didn't. He loved her. And God had a plan for her. See, ladies, you can be a model of death, or you can be a model of life. The Bible says in Genesis 3:15, let's look at it, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the first promise that God was going to send the Savior through the seed of woman. When God gives Eve another son, remember, Cain kills Abel. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was supposed to come from the seed of Abel. And he gives another son to Eve. And she calls his name Seth. I have received a man from the Lord. What was the purpose of that? So that God could save the human race through the seed of this woman. Well, of course, women don't have seed, do they? It's the virgin birth. It's prophecy of the virgin birth. So here, Eve is a model of death, and she's a model of life. Let me tell you a story, and we'll be done. My friend, Dr. Bill Grady, some of you have met him. He was with us on the trip, and I had heard some of his life story, but we really had a long conversation, he and myself and some others. Listen to this. Dr. Grady, when he was a boy, he grew up in New York City. His father was a connected man. He was a bartender and a bookie for the mob. That's what his father did for a living. They got a dog one time. His father gave him a dog. And they had gone away. And the dog had, he was a loan shark also. The dog, they walked in and the dog had torn up the linoleum. The reason the dog had torn up the linoleum is his father had $30,000 in cash hidden under the linoleum. And so the dog was eating the cash and it was a mess and all that. So his dad took the dog 40 blocks away over to where the United Nations building was and dropped him off. Just threw him out and took a cab 40 blocks back. Got off a block and a half ahead of time, got a loaf of bread and a bottle of, or newspaper, a loaf of bread and a bottle of orange juice, and walked the rest of the way back. When he got back there, that dog was sitting on the front steps. And he said, the miracle isn't that the dog found the house from 40 blocks away where he'd never been there, been away from there like that. It's that he had gotten through 40 blocks of 40 intersections of Manhattan traffic without getting killed. And I'd heard that story before, and then we said, what happened to the dog? And he said, oh, Dad took it behind the building and shot it. So Brother Grady, he is raised in a Roman Catholic church. He's an altar boy. His mother takes him to the St. Patrick's Day parade, comes home and in front of him, takes a whole bottle of sleeping pills and says, I love you, Billy. And he said, Mom, if you loved me, you wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't be doing this. And so she passed out there on the floor, goes into a coma. He doesn't know what to do. First thing he does is he drags her over, picks her up, and puts her on the couch. There was a cardboard cross that she had made and decorated that was up on the wall. He took it and put it in her hands. He ran into the kitchen and got a glass of water and came. She was a Lutheran. So he came and he baptized her into the Catholic Church so that she could go to heaven. Then ran down and called the emergency squad. His father was off somewhere at one of his bars and they got a hold of him. He had an older brother named Gregory. He gets taken to, his mother dies. he gets taken to, he said, I remember I ran down the stairs and I didn't go back up into the house. I was standing out with the crowd and they carried her out in a chair sitting up. And it just looked like she was drunk. And I remember watching all the people laughing at her because she just looked like a drunk lady. And she was dead. So he gets taken to his brother's house, Gregory. Gregory, his brother, would end up being shot to death a few years later. But he was there with him. His wife, Gregory's wife, he wakes up on the floor. He was sleeping on a mat on the kitchen floor in his brother's house that night. He wakes up and his sister-in-law, his brother Gregory's wife, who would be dead 6 months later, she was killed by someone, is making breakfast. His brother's sitting there reading the paper, drinking his coffee. He sees that Billy is awake, and he says, "No more mommy." Goes back to drink his coffee. That was it. For the next years, he lived with his father. His father was just lost, didn't know what to do. Brother Grady, for his meals, would walk down to the diner, sit there by himself and eat. Just a complete loner. This is the life. This is the life of a young man whose mother literally became a model of death to him. Now, praise God, he was saved. You know how he got saved? Listening to a preacher on the radio from an independent Baptist church in Philadelphia. He'd listen to it, and he'd listen to it every day. Just a lost man, got saved when he was 21 years old. Just an amazing story. But as he told me that, I said, how did that affect you? 11 years old. I said, how did that affect you? And he said, oh, I was devastated. He said, I lived in a depression for at least 3 or 4 years as a child. I just walked around in a funk. I didn't even know what was going on. People would talk to me. I didn't even know what was going on. He was completely alone. See, his mother became a picture of death. Now, see, I don't know how many of you got to see my article in the paper this week. My mom was a picture of life. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd get in there and I'd see Mom's coffee cup sitting next to her red Scofield Bible. I knew that Mom had been reading her Bible that morning and she loved us and she provided for us. She cared for us. She told us about Jesus Christ and she was the model of life. So ladies, here's the thing that you need to understand for your husband and for your children. You can be like Eve was, a model of life or a model of death. A model of life or a model of death. You know what I like? Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You know what I love? That's the legacy of Eve. When we think of Eve, that's what we think of. She's the first mother. The mother of all that's living. We understand that she sinned and she fell, but do you know who the responsibility is given to in the Bible? It says that Eve was in the transgression. That's where it started because she was deceived. But the Bible says, for as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so then death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. You see, gentlemen, you are ultimately responsible for what goes on in your family. But ladies, you understand how much role you have in that. Ladies, you are the Holy Spirit of the home. You set the spirit of the home. You can help your husband lead that home spiritually, or you can reject it. You can submit to your husband as a godly lady, or you can reject that submission. You can live as a godly woman and a godly mother, raising your children. The Bible calls you the keeper of the home, and you can make that home just a place that looks just like heaven, or you can make it a place that looks just like hell. I know all of us know ladies that are just wicked and mean and vile. I'm glad I had a sweet, godly mother. Amen? You might not have had that. Listen to what I'm saying. You might not have had that, but you can be that. Picture of life, picture of death. Eve, the mother of all living. Thank you, Lord.